Previously on Three of Hearts. Spar and Ishbala went on a mission to rescue Anya from Chrysalis, while Vellum supported them remotely. Things went smoothly until Veracity, the leader of Chrysalis and a member of Spar's family, arrived on scene. Spar's mother's sword magically incapacitated them, but proved unwilling to kill a family member. Despite this, everyone made it away safely. The following morning, Ipswich met with Veracity to discuss trading places with Sir Timby in the role of kidnapping Diamond. Despite suspicion that Ipswich is working with the Suits agents, Veracity accepted.
So, it's still the night, technically. We're in Sparge dreams right now.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Is that where we are?
Yes.
Did we want to do any scene setting about what, like, getting back looks like? Or did we want to do the dream and then...
I was going to start on the dream. Okay. And then we can talk about that, like, as we wake up.
Okay.
All right. Spar, in your dreams, the evening of your encounter with Veracity, you find yourself at a table that you recognize as being in a room of Casa de Felspar, and you're pouring over formulas, and you have grimoires stacked on the table beside you, and you're stressed and focused, and you know in your heart that if you can just figure this out, you can save two people that are dear to you. And maybe the whole world while you're at it.
Do I know who those two people are? Or is it just a sense of, like, I need to do this?
Just a sense that you need to do this.
Okay.
And then you do figure it out, but it's impossible. And that feeling makes you feel just the biggest sense of dread you've ever felt. That the solution to everything is right in front of you, and you just can't reach it. And then in the depths of this despair, you find the solution. And that hurts you even worse. And then you're somewhere else. You are in a cobblestone fort that you know belongs to Morpholomew's forces. And you're in this room with Felix Felspar. Could you describe Felix for the audience?
I can. So Felix is Spar's non-binary parent and is androgynous and kind of willowy. And they're Luna's sibling, so they're pretty elven, although Luna's avian features are from biomancy, so they don't share that.
Yeah.
And they have sort of light medium brown skin and very, very, very curly hair that is probably, like, Spar inherited it, but he keeps his short enough and actively, like, slicked back so it doesn't curl like this. And they have these big, big brown eyes and a very sweet smile. And, like, between them and Tara, like, they are obviously the more delicate one despite being the fighter. Tara has, like, a sense of solidity, and Felix looks more like if you huffed on them particularly focusedly, then they might just kind of fall over.
Yes, but despite this this waifishness, Felix looks very determined right now. They're wearing, like, leather armor, like they're you guys are in fight mode. And in this room are two pillars of, like, this pink light. And one of them begins to fade, and inside is the green-skinned elven vampire we know as Josepha. And they collapse forward into Felix's arms, and you see on their face just complete relief, both Felix and Josepha's. And then you step forward to the other column of light. to receive the person that you saved, not on necessarily your behalf, but for Felix, which is practically like your behalf, because you love them dearly. And the light fades, and inside is Felix's sibling, Merrim Felspar. Pale skin, stringy black hair, and you're ready to receive them the way they received Josepha. But the face they're making is not the weary relief that you saw in Josepha's face. Merrim's face frightens you, and you step back. And then that's over, and you're Spar again. And you're staring up at the statue of Thaumaterra in this aquarium, asking it what it wants from you. And the statue sheds a single tear of pink light. And you wake up. And you wake up in a pretty barren, gray, concrete room somewhere in Cindershore, a safe house owned by the constabulary, but offered to you guys under the extreme circumstances of having your friend kidnapped by Chrysalis. What was it like getting home last night?
I think the feeling that consumes Spar is anger at his sword. He feels betrayed by the sword and therefore betrayed by his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter that Veracity is family. They were trying to hurt someone that Spar loves.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the chance to stop them from hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
And the sword wouldn't let him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like getting Anya inside and safe and settled. And he's like already distracted and probably lets Ishbala and, oh God, what's his face? The hot cat boy.
Yakub,
thank you. Ishbala and Yakub, like, take the lead on, like, getting blankets and warm beverages and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Spar just isn't willing to look at anyone.
Mm.
I think he probably, like, stays awake prowling until everybody is settled into a room.
Mm-hmm.
And sets a watch. And then, and probably takes first watch.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's his turn to sleep, he just, like, curls up in a corner and just is passed out.
That was my question for both Ela and Essay. So does Spar sleep alone that night then?
Yeah. And like probably not even in a bed.
Yeah.
I think he's like in a chair, half propped up. So like if something happens,
he's ready to go.
Yeah. But he has thrown his sword into a corner and is wearing his gun.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if we wanted to establish what Vellum was doing when Spar got back.
Sure, if you'd like to.
Seeing that Spar is not really wanting to talk about things, I don't think Vellum, you know, tries to push that, but I do think as soon as everyone comes back from the mission and everyone's safe, he does go up and check Spar and make sure that he's not injured, or if he does have some scrapes and cuts, bruises, that he will go and tend to them.
Did Spar take any damage? I forget.
Mm-mm. Surprisingly, no.
No. Yeah, I think you were okay. Just inside damage.
Yeah. So I think when he starts to tell everyone to rest and he'll take first watch, Vellum will come up to him and he'll just kind of pat him on the shoulder and say, I'm glad you're okay and we're safe now. It's okay. And he doesn't really know what to say or what Spar's upset about, but he knows that now's not really the time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he just squeezes Spar's shoulder and sits close enough that if Spar decided he wanted to talk, he could, but isn't expecting Spar to come in and talk to him. I think Vellum stays awake for most of the night.
Spar flinches out from under the touch and moves away from Vellum.
I think in the morning when Spar wakes up, you see two conversations taking place in the room, quietly, respectful of the morning. One is between Jakob and the Queer Creeper, and the other is between Vellum and Anya. And Ishbala is, like, on alert, being the one, like, just in case anything goes wrong, not really engaged in conversation. So I'm going to play out those two conversations that you wake up to. Vellum.
Yeah.
You're always an early riser, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you doing in the morning?
I imagine in the morning, once it's his usual time that he wakes up, he'll check and make sure that everyone's still okay, mm-hmm. and get up and try to find some coffee and breakfast for everyone.
Okay.
To bring back.
Carnation, the potalope, Anya's pet, follows you around the room as you're doing that. But like in a friendly way, just like the Carnation's also up early and following Vellum around.
Mm.
Taps their snoot against your leg a couple times in like a friendly gesture.
Vellum will pet it on its head a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he likes it. All right. maybe 30 minutes after you wake up, Anya actually seeks you out.
Okay.
And so I imagine this safe room is like basically a bunch of beds that pull out from the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, there's like a little kitchenette and a bathroom. That's basically the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And like Anya, maybe Vellum's like sitting on his bed, like drinking coffee, and Anya comes and sits next to you. And well, actually she would ask, like, may I sit?
Of course.
Thank you. She sits down and says, first of all, I thanked Spar 100 times, but I've been told that you were also involved in my rescue. Thank you very much for that.
No need to thank me. I'm glad that we were able to find you without too terribly much trouble and that everyone is safe.
She nods and says, well, I disagree about the need to thank you, but I'm also glad. She thinks for a moment and says, I've dealt with Chrysalis before in my day job, and I've gotten on their bad side, and I don't feel like I would have been set free had you two played along with whatever their leader was planning. So thank you for not listening to them, I suppose.
Vellum will nod. You know, I always like to believe in people and what they say, but unfortunately, it's usually more beneficial to assume that they're not being truthful.
Anya kind of frowns at that and says, not everybody, but I understand the impulse. Probably better than most.
In particular, perhaps more a precaution when it comes to work, he says.
She nods and says, well, on that, we certainly agree and can relate. I wanted to talk to you about a matter that bleeds between personal and professional, as so much of this all seems to be doing.
Vellum stiffens.
First, I have a question that, a matter of procedure. I mean, I know Suits is not explicitly a law enforcement agency, but more as a matter of trust. Part of this may involve some criminal negligence on my part, and I just to trust that you can keep a secret.
I can keep a secret.
She nods. Well, first, I just want to share with y'all in general, we're dealing with Chrysalis, and who I know a thing or two about. They're a challenging organization to tackle. They're very clandestine in their dealings. There's a lot of them. So many of them. And their membership is hard to necessarily predict. You never know when they have a man on the inside. And what makes it especially challenging is that unless they have some sort of field mission, they don't even know who their fellow members are. They have specific people whose job it is to maintain the knowledge of the membership, and those people don't go on missions. Their sole purpose is to maintain that information and put people together when the time comes.
Interesting.
The reason I know this is that my father was such a person.
Velum will nod.
And she says, when I found this out, I was investigating Chrysalis. I found out not because he told me, but because you know how I am. I confronted him, and we came to a simple conclusion. I would let him walk away, and I could never see my father again. I'm sharing this with you because I know you might, hopefully not, but might be going through something similar. And she takes a breath and says, if you do find anything unpleasant about your uncle and need to talk to someone, I don't know that you would choose me to talk to, but I am available. And I understand what it feels like to feel betrayed by family. And I guess regardless, I wanted to just say that the conclusion I came to is that we do owe loyalty to the people we love and the people who have cared for us. But we only owe loyalty to the versions of those people we know. And if someone we think we know turns out to be someone we don't, or they have aspects of them that are antithetical to our morals, our standings, our oaths, we don't owe loyalty to those parts of them. Which is to say, I personally regret letting my father walk away. I think I've done a disservice to the world. Possibly put myself in danger.
Do you still miss him?
Of course. But especially for people like us, we can't live our lives mitigating our own sadness. We've both chosen paths where we have the power to do the right thing. And when the right thing presents itself, we have to do it. That's how I feel. I'm not telling you what to do, but
Velum will nod again. He'll say, I appreciate where you're coming from, and I will certainly take it into consideration if I indeed need to. And he doesn't finish the sentence. He swallows a couple times, trying to remain calm and collected. But if you know Velum, or if you're paying close attention, you can see that he's struggling.
Mm-hmm. You certainly don't have to share with me what you're thinking, but you can if you'd like. No, she just pauses there.
I'm not really sure what to think right now, but I do really appreciate your concern, and thank you.
You're very welcome. I don't know what... She starts to say Merum, but then corrects herself and says, I don't know what Spar is going through right now, but I don't think that I am the one to be there for him. So I just hope that you can be.
Vellum looks conflicted again because he remembers Spar flinching when the sword first broke, and he remembers Spar flinching again last night. Mm-hmm. And he remembers the way that he and Anya talked when she found him after the sword. Mm-hmm. And he wonders if he really is the person that Spar would want to talk to. But at the same time, maybe Anya isn't saying it so much for Spar's benefit, but perhaps for her own. Mm-hmm. So he will nod and say, I will be there for him in any way that I can.
She nods and hesitantly pats you on the back and says, thank you. And then she smiles and says, I had concerns about you. Carnation is curled up at both of your feet. Not curled up. I don't think a pig can curl up, but, laying down on his little tummy. Mm-hmm. She says, but that little guy is the best judge of character I know, and he seems to like you, so. You must be all right, Catelyn, Vellum.
Vellum will chuckle and give Carnation a couple more pets and say, they're a very good potaloop. I'm glad that they seem to trust me.
She nods. And at that point, she realizes that Spar is awake.
I think Spar pretends to stay asleep. It's one part pretending to stay asleep and one part not being ready yet. To sort of listen to what's going on before he starts before he's ready to engage.
How much of that conversation did Spar overhear?
How quiet were you guys being?
How big is the room?
Pretty small.
I don't know that Vellum would have been especially quiet. I don't think he was talking normal volume, but.
Yeah, I don't think that Spar is particularly listening in the sense of retaining, but in the sense of picking out voices and sort of getting oriented and who is in what part of the room, mm-hmm. what are the tones of voices happening. Mm-hmm. So okay. He may have actually heard, but I don't think he retained anything but maybe the sort of last bits. Mm-hmm. So yeah, nothing specific, I don't think.
Okay.
So I just realized, I don't know when we said Ipswich went out to talk to Veracity.
Yeah, I thought that was this morning. So my...
Yeah, so you probably weren't talking to Jakob yet. You probably...
Unless this is way early and before I would have gone, but at 8 a.m. it feels like...
Yeah. So we'll say that, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, I was going to, yes, I was going to the jukebox. Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So maybe you're just getting back from that, actually, when Spar wakes up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so Spar, that's the other thing you see, is the queer creeper returning. Yeah. So at what point does Spar make his awakeness known?
I think when queer creeper comes back, because that's opening the door.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Jakob will kind of wave at the queer creeper and say, hey, you made it back from your breakfast date.
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah. Looks to Vellum, looks to Spar. We should coordinate, I think. It's that time.
Sounds good.
Yeah, because it is starting to sink into Queer Creeper that if Jakob hasn't already pieced together who he is, it's probably going to become apparent very, very shortly.
Aspar shakes his head a little bit and rubs his face. Should we? I think we're in over our heads. This is way more than we signed up for. Way more than you signed up for, Mix Creeper.
I'm happy to help. I should at least tell you about my breakfast date.
Sure.
Because, he looks at Spar, he looks at Jakob, he looks at Spar again. Are we being frank here?
Spar does not understand what the question is and is like, yes.
Oh, okay then. Yes, so... Veracity would like to hire me to abduct Diamond and bring Diamond back to Brick's room in the hotel where the Passion Root Festival is. Veracity says that no harm will come to Diamond, but that apparently Veracity is very interested in some ability that Diamond has to, like, get people to do what they say?
That is very concerning.
Yeah, I have questions.
I think Spar is doing his, like, wake up, sort of pat himself down for figuring out where everything is, like, realizes he doesn't have his sword, then remembers and is like, ugh, and finds the other half of Jack's letter. Which for several episodes now, he's been in possession of and not read.
Did you not read it?
No. Every time we were like, okay, we'll read it first thing next session. And then Anya was kidnapped. Or like we were in the middle of chasing Timby.
Yeah, yeah. So, you should read that letter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought I could have sworn I said this already. All right, now I'm like, what does it say?
I cannot remember.
No, you did not. We have not read
okay.
it.
Okay, I trust essay. I trust essay. So it basically said, like, if you don't hear from me, and then that's, like, that's the end of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
Did you not write down what the letter is?
No, I did, for sure.
Uh-huh.
It definitely is written down.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Cool. Love that for you.
but I know what it says. I thought I said it already. All right, it says I don't think I remember that period of time. If you haven't heard from me in 72 hours, head to Stoneloft. I've been kidnapped.
Good.
XOXO Jack.
Good.
And the little paw print.
Mm-hmm.
Does he show Vellum this?
Nope.
God damn it.
He's just going to fold it back up and stick it back in his pocket. It's on the list.
Can I flip inside or something to see if Vellum noticed Spar pulling out a note and maybe remembering if there was a second half to a note that maybe Spar might have now?
Yeah. Spar, flip presence and lying to maintain a poker face. And Vellum, flip...
intelligence, investigation?
Presence, empathy. To read Spar.
Presence, empathy.
Mm-hmm. Or wit, empathy, but I know your presence is better.
Yeah.
Presence is 2, lying is 0, I'm healthy, so that's 3.
Presence is 3... empathy is 1 for healthy, that's 5.
One success, queen of clubs.
I got a king of spades.
Okay. So that's 1 success each?
Yeah, I think I might drive. I spent a couple drive and got nothing.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like Vellum notices a note, but doesn't put together the bit about Jack.
Yeah, that's what I think one success does, yep. And does not notice any sort of, like, surprise or alarm in Spar's features.
To be fair, no matter how many successes there are, he will not find surprise or alarm on Spar's features. This is basically what he expected.
That's fair.
The only part he didn't know was how long he should wait before going to Stoneloft. Like, this is, yeah.
Alrighty.
If we don't continue this case in regard to Diamond and Veracity and whatever it is that they're up to, I do agree that maybe we're in over our head, but shouldn't we try to do something?
Yeah, Jakob says, I realize I'm not a potential combatant in this situation, so maybe this is not worth, my opinion is not worth much here, but it sounds like there's a possibility that Chrysalis is in possession of a time stop magic, which seems very bad for them to be in possession of. And then Anya pitches in, and if Diamond can manipulate people's minds, them walking around is too dangerous.
And what? Like, the... how many people are in the room? Let's see, one, two...
six people?
Spar is only going to count the suit's agents. So he...
okay, three of us?
Like, gestures at himself, Vellum, and Ishbala. It's like, what? And the three of us are supposed to stop Chrysalis? This is...
ahem.
This isn't a three-person job.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, there's more than three of us. Gestures to Queer Creeper.
There's definitely more than three of us.
We could call in some backup. I don't...
Spar opens his mouth to disagree with Jakob and then decides it's just not worth it. And he looks at Vellum and says, then, yeah, I mean, who should even be in charge of this? This isn't a mission anymore. This is counterterrorism. This isn't investigating fucking crops. This isn't even finding a missing person, who, by the way, we still have a goddamn a war hero who's supposed to be dead that we need to do something about at some point. Somebody has to put them in a fucking jar.
I'm going to say Jakob was, like, reclining and he, like, leans forward.
You're right.
And what are we supposed to... I can't arrest people. Am I supposed to fucking kill a pop star? I can't even kill a member of my own family.
Okay, a lot of people in the room are alarmed by that. I guess every single person in the room is alarmed by that I control.
Yeah, Queer Creeper is definitely making a face.
Yeah, Vellum too.
Anya's like, why would you kill a member of your family?
Queer Creeper's like, why would you kill a pop star?
You wouldn't kill a pop star.
You wouldn't download a war criminal.
Fuck. This show's so good. All right.
Spar. Okay. So, out of character for 1 second. Clovenheart is an hour away. Is that right?
Yeah, like an hour to the south on a boat.
Okay. So Spar is going to look around the room and say, "I hate everyone in this goddamn room," and get up and walk out.
Vellum's gonna go after him and try not to let him leave.
Are you gonna physically stop him?
He's gonna try.
How?
He's gonna try and wrap his arms around Felspar's arms. Like a bear hug.
Spar will throw elbows. Like, this is... he does not want to be restrained, and he is gonna hurt Vellum about it. Anya would know, and Jakob probably even would know, that, like, Spar needs to go blow off steam and we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously does not hate anyone in the room.
Yeah, I think Anya would be like, Callan, let him go.
Vellum looks stubbornly at Spar.
He's thrashing. Like, he will start, he'll kick, he will, if he can't punch, he'll throw elbows. He is not letting himself be held.
Okay. I think Vellum, Spar is able to break Vellum's grip one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Vellum lets go and looks down, and he's breathing heavily because he also doesn't know what to do in this situation. He keeps running into these situations where he doesn't know what to do, and his life used to be so much simpler before all of this happened.
Vellum, you feel Ishbala's hand on your shoulder trying to, like, pull you away from Spar.
Vellum will let himself be pulled, and he shuts down.
Okay. When Spar is, like, far enough away that, like, I don't know, he's far enough away that he can still definitely hear this, Ishbala says, as the only two suits agents in the room not throwing a tantrum, we have to do something. So, I need you here.
Vellum lets out a shaky breath and nods. And where are we? We're in a safe room?
In a safe room. I imagine this, like, underground a little bit, so Spar's, like, walking up the stairs out of this place.
Is there a phone in the safe room?
Yeah, definitely.
He is going to call Suits headquarters.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
Is it time for fan favorite Greggins to make an appearance?
I think it probably... Is that who you're calling?
Yeah, I mean, I assume, you know, maybe calling the direct Suits number would put him through, you know, some different channels to talk so on and so forth, but...
I like the idea that you bounce around a little bit, mm-hmm. because one of the people who redirects you, I just have to make it clear, and redirects you to the wrong place... is GM favorite character, Cadwin Silverleaf. and then eventually you make your way to Greggan's phone.
Excellent.
Okay. Go for Greggan's. I'm trying a new way of answering the phone.
Greggan's. Love it. It's great.
Thank you.
We've got some big problems.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know... exactly what Spar has been putting in his daily reports, and I...
Not as little as he can.
As little as he can, or not as little as he can?
Oh, as little as he can.
Okay. I'll have to talk to him about that when he decides to listen to me again.
So are you guys ever going to look at those crops, or...
Does Greggan know about the crops?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, like, the one thing he knows about. I don't know, what would Spar put in his reports?
Still investigating.
Amazing. Okay, doesn't...
Those two words, that's it? That's the report?
Well, so that's, like, some days. Some days it's following leads. And his signature.
He doesn't know about the crops, then.
Okay.
Like, yeah, how's it going?
Look, Greggins, we're in some deep shit. Chrysalis is here, and...
In Clovenheart?
No, I'm not calling you from Clovenheart.
Oh, wait, you're not in Clovenheart. You're calling me. You're right. Okay.
We're in Cindershore.
I'm so deep in the dark right now. I'm stressed.
We're all stressed.
I lost my favorite mug this morning, and I don't know where it could be.
Oh.
And I'm worried that maybe...
I'm sure it'll turn up.
Okay.
If not, I'll buy you a new one.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. We'll get Jack to put his little paw print on it.
So I'm sure your problem is of similar weight, but I'm ready to listen.
Okay. Chrysalis is here.
You said Chrysalis. That sounds bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently they want to kidnap Diamond because they have some incredible power that may be useful. to Chrysalis. So that's concerning. Also,
I'm so far behind. Popstar Diamond has magic powers and Chrysalis wants to kidnap them?
That is my understanding. You're now caught up. We had been chasing after the Eye of Krinosava. Do you remember that case?
Yes.
We thought that we had caught Agent Timbleton with the emerald. But it turned out that someone managed to swipe that from him. And I can only assume that Chrysalis was able to do so. So, Chrysalis may also have the Eye of Krinosava.
Gregan said, I thought it'd be refreshing to talk to an agent who tells me stuff, but I'm actually more stressed than when I started the call.
Yeah, yeah.
I
can understand.
Gregan's is gaining a new appreciation for Bar's style of communication.
Okay. I mean, I can send people your way. It's going to take a little while.
I mean, send as many as you think you can send our way right now. Right now, our team is myself, Felspar, who just stormed away and won't talk to anyone and wants to give up, Ishbala, who is very kindly trying to keep the peace. We have a local, he turns to Creeper and is trying to figure out what to call.
Vigilante.
Local vigilante who has also been.
Is that QC? I'm a huge fan.
Yes, they're here. If you would like to talk to them, you can talk to them once you send the other agents on their way.
I would embarrass myself. I can't do it.
Okay, I'll let them know that you're a fan. Maybe I'll get their autograph for you.
Thank you so much.
Of course. And then we have a couple civilians here who are certainly very knowledgeable and could probably help out as well. But that's pretty much the extent of our forces right now.
Okay, I'm going to figure some things out. I need to hyperventilate for a minute, and then I'll send some, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay. And Velim will tell him the phone number to call him back.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the episode so far. Hope you're enjoying it. Welcome to the Mid-Tro, where we tell you who we are and what we're about. Hi, I'm Jordan Quiverins. I'm the GM, / wingman, / host, and my pronouns are they, them. And you can find me, I don't even know at this point where you can find me online, but I bet wherever it is, you can find me in the description of this episode. Essay.
That's me. Hi, my name is Essay. My pronouns are she, her. I play Agent Felspar, whose pronouns are he, him. You can, as of this recording, which is in December of 2022, you can find me online at cohost.org, at username Essay, Essay. Anyway, Ela, why don't you tell us about you?
Sure. Hi, this is Ela Alexi. You can find me on most social medias at Ela Alexi. Including ones that may be dying soon. We'll find out, I guess. But I am on Instagram. I play Agent Velim. He and I both use they and he pronouns.
Great. Kit.
Hi, I'm Kit Stubbs. I use they, them pronouns. I play the queer creeper, whose civilian name is Ipswich Crow Swaddle, who uses he and they pronouns. Ads at this time, I am still hanging on Twitter at kit_stubbs_phd.
Character facts.
Jordan, why don't you go first as the GM to like set the tone? And,
wow. Yeah, so we decided the theme was vacations, which is, I feel like, the opposite of what everyone's having right now in this episode. So my first fact is going to be about Gregan's. And his favorite vacation, not his favorite vacation, but a memorable vacation story, is that he Okay, so he once went to a corgi event at Cindershore, where everyone just brought their corgis. And he thought a corgi was Jack. Like, Jack got kind of, like, went off and did his own thing. And Greggins was just hanging around with the corgi that he thought was Jack, who was just, like, not very talkative for, like, most of the day. And he was, like, trying to figure out what was wrong with Jack, and it was very stressful. It took him to, like, a vet. He didn't know what to do. And then at the end found out he had stolen someone's corgi and was reunited with Jack. And everything ended up okay, but a lot of stress was caused.
And importantly, this corgi event, is that based on something that happened in real life?
Yes, CorgiCon in San Francisco that I go to every summer, and it's a delight. 500 corgis, one beach. It's heaven on earth.
Love it.
Incredible.
I want to be clear that while CorgiCon is a real event, I'd never lost my dog at CorgiCon. That part was not based on a real story. Este, tell us something we didn't know about Spar.
My agent fact for this week is that Spar has never willingly taken a vacation, which means that usually his loved ones trick him into it. Mm. For Tatiana, this means that she once drugged him, and he woke up in the hotel. She had exclusively packed luau shirts, which he did not know he owned if he did.
And, he does now.
Yeah, and one pair of pants.
Horrible, but great.
That's her.
Ela or Kit?
I'll go next, so it's in the same order. Mm-hmm. So my agent Vellum fact today is Vellum has fond memories of going to the beach with Uncle Gray, and his favorite activity that Gray would help create is that Gray would bury things in the sand and Vellum would pretend to be an archaeologist and dig them up and study whatever was buried.
That's adorable, and I love that.
Yes. So let's see. So whenever the Queer Creeper goes on vacation, he loves to find new museums to go to, whether it's musical instruments, butterflies, or just old deeds at the Town Historical Society. The Queer Creeper is thrilled to visit large collections of objects that are neatly cataloged and labeled.
And I love that for him.
I love that so much.
And I appreciate it.
And he has a real breadth of interest, as long as it's neat and labeled.
I love it so much. Mm-hmm. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening so far. I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Let's get back to it.
Spar's going to Clovenheart.
Is he taking Anya, or is he just going?
No, he can't go back to the room yet.
Yeah. So you're just heading to the boathouse and you're going?
Yep.
All right. I like to imagine that you're like on the next boat head south. You're like it's about to leave, and then you see like coming up the river, like the official Clovenheart paddle boat that Mitch the Frogman operates. And you see standing on it, waiting to get off, Luna Vella and Brunhilde.
Slight tweak. If the Clovenheart boat is bringing them, then he was like in a rowboat, just like ready to.
Okay, I figured. Okay, that makes sense. So you're about to get in a rowboat, and you see your aunts arrive.
At this point, Spar is still like he's down from 98% angry to like a solid 77%.
That's a big decrease.
Yeah, he's simmering. And if Luna Vella weren't his aunt, he would be grabbing her by the lapels and like slamming her against the nearest surface.
Whoa.
But she is his aunt. Mm-hmm. And so he will like wait for them to disembark. Mm-hmm.
And they do that. And Brunhilde is like original, like all sunshines and rainbows and about to like greet you all friendly. But then she like takes a look at you in like the single storm cloud above your head. And
yeah, Spar is disheveled, like clearly wearing clothes that he slept in, that he had been running in the night before, and not wearing his sword. And we've got like we've passed 5 o'clock shadow into like Aragorn's scruff. Like has not slept, Well, clearly.
So Luna's face like falls as she kind of examines you, and Brunhilde is like vocalizes and like, "Oh my God, Mary, are you okay?"
He points a finger. Oh, this is very hard because I would never do this. But
you got.
He points a finger like at Luna Vello, right at her chest, and says, "Tell me everything about Merim."
Luna looks surprised and confused for a second, and then.
And then he turns to Brunhilde and points at her too, and is like, "You too, if you know anything."
Luna's like, "Can we not be in public for this?"
Yes. And he will like turn and stalk off.
Okay, they follow. Just like not, they don't have to be like indoors, but just like a less public area than the boathouse. We find like a nice bench that's on a non-busy street. Yeah, Luna sits down.
The bench is like not at the Bee by the Sea, but like near enough that it's overlooking like the cliffs into the
ocean.
Okay, the ocean. Yeah,
perfect. And I think you can all three fit on the bench. And Luna looks like just like stone-faced, and Brunhilde is like actively distraught.
And Spar doesn't sit, he stands.
So Luna looks up at you and says, "I'm not sure where to begin. Merim Felspar, the first, I guess, died. They're gone."
Nope. Try again.
"What I mean is, my sibling is so far gone, they have been too painful to speak of. They were altered, became a vampire. Troubling enough to deal with, but obviously I still loved them and did everything I could for them. And then, look, they were with me. We were both close to Morpholomew. They were altered by him and later became his puppet. And then when Terra cut Josepha off from magic, she did the same thing to Merim. But Merim was gone. Morpholomew's magical hold was gone, but they still loved him. They still believed he was right. And the last time I saw them, I was going to try to bring them to Clovenheart. I didn't know what had happened. Okay, your parents went to Fossa Natura, and only Josepha came back. And they made their stance clear that the fight should continue, that we should fight for altered freedom and put down anyone who gets in our way. And I didn't recognize the person I was talking to. And I haven't talked to them since.
They send their regards, I guess.
She closes her eyes and says, "Merim's here. Veracity is here."
Yep. They took Anya last night. I got her back. They know I'm here. You shouldn't be here. Neither of you. You shouldn't. It's not safe to be here. Go home.
Brunhilde, like, goes off the bench and, like, hugs you and, like, buries her face in, like, your hip.
He pats her as if he's comforting her. Mm.
Luna says, "Are you angry with me?"
"For what?"
"I don't know. You seem angry. I mean, I do know, for not telling you about them."
"It feels weird. They killed my parents, right? That's the subtext there."
"I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
So I don't pin in that. Pin in undecided.
It's not like I was trying to hide them from you."
I know. And if things were different, I could have gone my whole life not knowing. The more important thing is that they're here now, and I can't keep everyone safe. And there are civilians involved who didn't ask for this. And there are people involved who don't understand how dangerous this is. And I can't even send everybody back to Clovenheart and hope that Clovenheart will keep them safe. And I don't know what to do. Also, Jack's missing. Also, I couldn't kill them with my sword. So I'm extra helpless, I guess. I should take up woodworking, I guess.
Lunavel stares out at the sea for a while. Says, This is my first time leaving Clovenheart since I lost Felix. Seems like it was short-lived.
Spar almost says, unless you want to stay and help, but does not.
Okay, yeah, Luna is gonna say that. Luna says, like, I want to stay.
It's not safe.
I know that.
You know it better than I do. Take Hildy and go home.
Hildy can take Anya and go home, and Hilda just, like, gives Luna a look.
I will take both of you home. And that one's more bluster. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants his aunts to stay. He mm-hmm. wants someone to be an adult. He mm-hmm. wants to not feel like he has to be the most grown up. But this is explicitly what he signed up mm-hmm. for. Like, he signed up for a job that can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Not this level of dangerous, really, usually, yeah. But they are not trained. And I think right now he's not thinking about the fact that they fought in a war.
Right. Luna says, Spar, every single thing that dominoes from what Morpholomew did is my fault. I'm going to fix it. Vellum has a radio that does magic. And compared to me, he might as well be a toddler playing with blocks. With that, I can stop Veracity, and I can save everyone. And it won't even be hard.
There's only one part of that that's not true.
What's that?
It's not your fault. He hugs her.
Luna hugs him back. And Brunhilde hugs both of you.
Yeah.
Let's go see your friends. Take home who we can take home. And let's stop my sibling from hurting anyone else.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to cut away there. So I imagine the safe house is like, it almost looks like a tornado shelter. Like, there's like double doors that open up and like a cellar underneath.
Cellar.
Yeah, like a cellar. The rest of you who are down in the basement, the cellar, hear a knock at the doors, which Spar has a key, so that's just a little weird. And you hear
Vellum will approach the door and say, who's there?
It's your old pal, everyone's favorite musician, and your favorite scapegoat. I feel like we have some things to talk about, Mr. Vellum. And I'd like you to let me in.
Queer Creeper's ears perk up.
Hey, Vellum, can you flip Presence Arcana to resist Diamond's mind control?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right. Figured this was coming. 3 for presence, 4 for arcana, 1 for eclectic, 1 for healthy. Let's see what we got. Oh, good. Good, good, good. We got an ace, a queen, a king, and a joker.
What's the queen?
It's spades.
So that's 3 successes?
three successes and a joker. Okay, do we want to ante it?
Yeah. That's, yeah. Yes. Even I agree. All right. I'm going to flip. Vellum, you're able to resist.
Ooh.
It feels like... It almost feels like a tension headache. But like if the tension headache had fingers and was like grabbing your brain and you're able to shake it off.
And was that enough successes for Vellum to tell anything about how it's done, or?
No, I don't think so. No, it's
a good
question.
I just thought I'd ask since it's an Arcana flip.
Yep.
I
think Vellum, what was it exactly that Diamond had said?
They want in.
That we had some things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that we do have quite a bit that we could talk about. I would, however, appreciate if you did not attempt to do that again to myself or any of my friends.
I can promise that, but I should tell you, if we're going to establish a rapport of honesty and straightforwardness, that I did make your uncle tell me how to get here.
Out of character, and this may not be something Vellum would know, but and would need to clarify with Diamond, but do they mean to get to the safe room? Okay. Which Gray may not know that they're in, but maybe Gray assumed that they would head there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to admit that is disappointing, but you're here now, and talking certainly won't make things worse, will it?
And they say, well, I'm not going to talk through a door. You know,
but you're doing so well already.
You know, facial expressions and hand gestures are a significant part of communication, and I don't think that we'll be able to communicate effectively if I can't see you face to face. I've never been much for phones, if I'm being honest. Maybe it's because I was born hundreds of years before they existed, but they just never really sat well with me.
I will let you in, but if you begin to hurt or manipulate any of my friends, I will not hesitate. I don't know that I can do much, but I will try my fucking damnedest.
All right, calm down, sir. If I wanted to hurt you, I've had ample opportunity to do that in the past.
And yet you still felt the need to try to control my mind.
Well, yes, I felt the vibe was you might not want to let me in, and I really wanted to come in. I guess I shouldn't just jump to doing that. It's just become sort of second nature.
Vellum will open the door.
All right. And yeah, you see Diamond. They're dressed like kind of low key for Diamond, just in like a sleeveless shirt and some slacks.
I would say, and he says this in a more calm tone, I would say that perhaps beginning a conversation by trying to control someone may not be the best foot forward, but...
Oh, but it's worked so well for me in the past. And they sort of like start walking inside.
Oh, your sparkliness.
And Vellum, you know, is clenching his hand, but like not antagonizing them further.
Diamond looks between Vellum and Ipswich and then back at Ipswich and says, well, you're a shit bodyguard.
Excuse me, I've been hard at work on your behalf.
You're having a sleepover with the enemy.
The enemy?
I told you to watch out for these suits agents. And she's just peering at Vellum. And then she looks at each ball and says, looks like you collected more of them.
This means I'm watching them extremely carefully.
To be fair, Ipswich has been keeping a very close eye on us.
See?
They, like, stroke their chin for a second and just, like, say, so.
Also, Vellum's just, like, twitching a little bit at Diamond calling them the enemy. But he's not saying anything about it.
And then Diamond looks to Velum and was like, honestly, I was hoping we'd have a reunion a little sooner. I hadn't heard back from my minion here, gesturing to Queer Creeper. So I was hoping that, well, I was a little worried that something had happened to them. I'm glad you're okay. Well, yes, I guess I was afraid for my safety, so I took the first move. And decided to make a visit. Where's the other one?
Velum's going to ignore that question and say, do you know that Chrysalis is after you?
Vaguely. I should say this wouldn't be the first time. They're jealous of my persuading cadence, I suppose. But it seems like you, pointing at Velum, have joined the list of my suitors.
I'm sorry?
I'm being cute. You are also following me. You didn't just come to Cindershore after my dramatic exit for no reason.
It was entirely because of your dramatic exit, actually.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So? Why?
Why are we pursuing you?
Yes.
Well, the whole fight with Sekitan was unexpected and alarming. We were trying to figure out who it was that had kidnapped and experimented on Kurt Whittlesby. And in doing so, you were part of the investigation. And when you left, honestly, it was very suspicious.
Fair enough. How is Sekitan?
They're doing better now. We took Sekitan to Cindershore, right?
To a doctor. Yeah, him to a doctor here.
I don't think that Velum's going to tell Diamond that Sekitan's here.
Okay. They say they always were a sweetie. I didn't want them to be a fatality in all this, so that's good to hear. How's the green kid? He was sweet, too. I hope he didn't get caught up in the mess.
To my knowledge, he is also doing well.
Good. I'd like to make a deal with you. I assume you have some questions for me. I'm not particularly inclined to tell the truth, but I'm not inclined to be kidnapped and murdered by Chrysalis either. So, I propose a deal. If you can prevent that from happening, that would be wonderful for me.
Hmm.
If you can prevent that in a way that I also get to play tomorrow, the dark this evening, that would be even better, but that's optional. But at the Passion Fruit Festival, there's a booth. An old relic called the Truth Booth. Ill-advised for couples, and in fact an illegal method of interrogation, which is why it has been delegated to this trivial use. Anyone who is asked a question in it not only can't lie, but is in fact compelled to tell the truth. If you keep me safe, you get 3 questions with yours truly in the Truth Booth. How does that sound? Have we lost Ela again?
No, Ela is here. Ela's writing down notes.
Okay.
Spar from across the city. No, let Chris. Them. I was hoping they'd all take care of each other.
To be perfectly honest with you, we're pretty far in over our heads. I don't know how much we can protect you, but I have called for backup, and I would like to accept the deal.
Okay. Your lack of confidence gets you 2 questions, but they extend a hand.
If we succeed, does it go back to 3?
If you don't succeed, you won't be able to get any questions out of me because I'll probably be dead.
Well, to be fair, I'll probably be dead as well.
Shake my hand, please.
Velum will shake their hand.
Well, it will be a pleasure working with you.
Three of parts as S.A. Monotola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, Jordan Quiverns as our host, and special guest Kit Stubbs as the Queer Creeper. We play a game called Space Kings, which was created by Kevin Cole and Supertri Studios. You can find out more about that game at spacekings.space, where you can also purchase a digital version of the book. Go to book.spacekings.space to purchase a physical version. It's a great game. You won't regret it. Our intro music is Dogtective. Our special Queer Creeper Mitro theme is A Warm Welcome. And our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and short stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a brand new episode.
Heads up that Spar's going to Clovenheart.
What? Okay. Great. I'm so glad he told me that right now. Because I thought we're going to you next. Holy fuck. Okay.
Yeah. He's got questions for Luna.
Oh, that's so convenient because of what I was thinking of doing.
What were you thinking of doing?
I think Luna and Hilda are going to the Passion Fruit Festival.
Oh.
So you might see them before you get to Clovenheart. Unless you really want to go to Clovenheart specifically.
No, doesn't have to. Okay. No, it doesn't have to be there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because them being here solves some narrative problems for me. So it's convenient.
Good. Mm-hmm. And we have about 45 minutes before I have to go.
Yep. I want to share a thing here right now because you're the only one I think who doesn't know it. And you can put it. Well, hold on. I have to ask. Did you. This is not an accusation. Did you listen to the interview I did with Kevin?
No.
Okay. So you should. You can tag this on to the end of the episode because I reveal this in the interview with Kevin. But I have not revealed it to you, which is what I drew. My plot cards on the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, like, because I tweaked it a little bit, but now you know enough for me to say what it was. Yeah. My plot cards I drew were a traveling pop star causes madness everywhere they go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very good.
Thank you.